today we're going to be looking at Jesus and acts of mercy. I've been thinking about how in our kind of pop culture media, maybe you've seen this if you've ever watched the TV or the telly or whatever way you refer to a screen that will show you a movie or a television show, that a lot of times in pop culture, Christians are portrayed in some stereotypical ways. And oftentimes I'm observing it's in a very negative light. Hateful, not very bright. What is a Christian out in kind of the pop culture? And so I was thinking about how some of those caricatures are some twisted but half-truths. Sometimes Christians around the world are unfortunately known more for what they're against than what they're for. And so I'm thinking in the next weeks ahead, I want to talk a little bit about some things we're for. And where I want to look to is Jesus Christ. What was Jesus Christ for? What was he about? What were things that Jesus modeled? So if you've ever been in a season in your life where, whether you're watching a movie or a television show, or even reading the news and felt a little disillusioned by other Christians, a little discouraged, I will say I have too, right? We turn on the news sometimes and we read about scandals, right, in the church, abuse, pastors running off with money, right? We read about these bad scenarios, right? And it is discouraging. And I think to the world, meaning people who maybe aren't in a church on a Sunday morning, it maybe seems like, well, it proves the caricatures on the media right. And it can be disillusioning. And if you've ever felt disillusioned by Christians, by the church, I want to say to you as a pastor, I have too. Because sometimes when I look at how we Christians around the world are acting, sometimes we are caught not acting like the Christ we follow. Let me say that again. Sometimes people who claim to follow Christ are caught not acting like the Christ they claim to follow. And that's discouraging and that's disillusioning. But the good news, and the thing I want to encourage us with today and in the weeks ahead, is that Christ is our pure example. And sometimes other believers, other leaders let us down. But Christ is our pure example. And the more that I know Christ, the longer I've followed Christ, the more I read about Jesus in the Gospels, the more encouraged I am about all the beautiful, wonderful, virtuous, good character things that Jesus is for, and Jesus asks the followers, the disciples, that's us, hopefully, to do also. So this text we're looking at today, if I was going to sum it up, I would say Jesus is for acts of mercy. Jesus, what is something Jesus is all about that he did in his life, that he taught? Jesus was all about acts of mercy, kindness, and compassion. So let's look together at this text in Luke 10. So the context is a lawyer, somebody who was really smart and kind of thought they had things figured out, went up to kind of test Jesus, put him on the spot, see if he could trip up Jesus. And so he asks a question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? How might I have life now and forever after? Right? And so Jesus responds to him by pointing him to the scriptures, what is written. How do you read it? So Jesus didn't immediately answer. He answered the question with a question, which is pretty smart. And the lawyer said, you shall love the Lord, or Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And then, so the lawyer answered that, and Jesus said, you've answered correctly. Do this and you will live. So that part we've already been talking about. If you've been here a few weeks, we've been talking about the greatest commandments, right? Love God, love your neighbor. That's the call throughout the scriptures in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and here it is again. And the lawyer, it says in the text, wanted to justify himself. He wanted to look good. He wanted to push the issue. So when Jesus said to him, you've answered correctly, do this and you will live, the lawyer follows up and says, but who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Interesting here, Jesus replies not with a straight answer of, okay, here's your neighbor. Jesus answers with a story, a parable. And I love this parable, and it's even kind of fun to act it out sometimes. So, you know, if you'll humor me, you know, so we've got a road. Let's pretend these steps, right? It's a road. Yeah? So there is somebody who's traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. So Jerusalem is up here on a hill, and Jericho's down there. It's a really steep, rugged way. I've walked that road. So there's this traveler, and he's walking, right? Down to Jericho. And on his way, he gets beat up. People jump him. People beat him up. They rob him. And the scripture says they leave him half dead. So they probably took any money he had, any possessions, and they kind of beat him up. And so he's laying there, right? In need. So then comes a priest, right? Now, I have to say that would probably be somebody like me. They would probably, I kind of picture them in a robe, looking very dignified. You know, probably a man with a long beard. I don't know, that's my picture. And the priest was probably, you know, looking at his watch if he had one. He was very important. He had things to do. And he's walking along and sees the guy laying there. And what does the scripture says the priest do? Did he act with mercy? What did he do? What? Somebody said it. He passed by on the other side. So the priest, the one who should have known the right answer, was busy and passed by on the other side, staying very holy and not wanting to get his robes dirty, right? Then there was a second person who came across the man who'd been beaten up. Who was that? Do you remember? The Levite. Now, the Levite was kind of in the culture of the day, in the setting of the day. Jesus chose some interesting characters for this parable. This was like, by birth, the holy tribe, because Levites were to be like the musicians in the temple, those helping with sacrifices, handling, you could say, the holy things of God. So they were kind of like a priest, right? So here's a Levite, knows all the right answers, and yet, what does the Levite do? Right? Passes by on the other side. Now Jesus picks a third character who happens to walk on the road. And this third person that Jesus lifts up is a Samaritan. Now, when Jesus chose to lift up a Samaritan, I believe Jesus was going at some ethnic, racial, and cultural issues of the day and going right at it. Because Hebrews believed that Samaritans, people who lived in Samaria, were kind of half-religious, kind of not proper, kind of looked down upon. They were mixed religion, mixed race. They had intermarried with people from all over the region. And so Samaritans, by a pure Levite or a pure priest, were looked down upon. And Jesus says, but the third person, a Samaritan, maybe an unsuspecting hero, walks by and sees the man who's been robbed and beaten up. And what does the Samaritan do? Help me out. Yes. He stops. He's inconvenienced, right? He comes and he pours ointments on the person's wounds. He picks him up. He puts the person who's been wounded on his own animal, likely a donkey. And it says he takes him to an inn. And then the Samaritan takes out his money and says to the innkeeper, here is some money, take care of him, and when I come back, anything else you need, I'll pay. So the amount of money in that day would be about 2 days' wages. So not just, you know, five, but a good amount of money. So this is the story Jesus tells, and the hero of the story is the Samaritan. Not the priest, not the Levite, the Samaritan. And then Jesus asks a question. You see all the questions in this short story? The lawyer's asking Jesus questions. Jesus is asking the lawyer questions. And so Jesus tells this story and then says, now who was the neighbor to the person who had been robbed and beaten? Right? The punchline. Who was the neighbor? So Jesus doesn't so much describe for us or for the lawyer in a legalistic way, well, is your neighbor the actual person next door to you in the flat next to you? Or is it somebody down the road? Or is it some foreigner traveling through? It's not as much that as much as saying, what kind of person are you to be? What kind of lifestyle are you to live? Because in the question, Jesus says, who was the neighbor? And the lawyer at this point is kind of forced to lift up the Samaritan with Jesus. And he says, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor? And the lawyer said, the one who showed him mercy. The one who showed him mercy. And Jesus answered back, go and do likewise. Go and be like the Samaritan. Not like the priest or like the Levite, but in this story, like somebody you've tended to discard. And it was a pretty powerful story. Now, the other thing I really want to highlight is in this text, it talks about when the Samaritan journey, he saw the man, and it says he had compassion. Now, that word in the Greek is a very deep, guttural word. So the word compassion there in the Greek is like he felt in his bowels. It's a real, like, guttural, he felt deeply moved. Maybe in American English, we might say something like, he felt struck to his heart, we might say. I don't know how you would say that in Czech when you want to say someone was just moved. They had so much compassion, they had to do something. They were moved so deeply. What would you say? Maybe think on that and let me know, because I'm not sure. What would a Czech person say if you want to say, in your inner being, in your inner core, you were just moved to such a point you had to do something. That's what that word in the Greek is saying, that he had compassion. And he had a kind of compassion that wasn't just, oh, I'm sorry, bye-bye, you know, right? The Samaritan didn't go on the road and go, oh, sorry, you fell, bye-bye, right? No, he saw the man wounded and hurt and stolen from, and he stopped. He had compassion, and he did something. So one thing I want to highlight in the scriptures is that often when you see compassion, you see it next to mercy. Compassion and mercy often are closely bound, and in the scripture, compassion and mercy are usually also closely bound to action. So it's not just a flighty feeling of, oh, I feel bad for you. Not a shallow thing, but a deep thing of, I recognize there's a need, and I want to do something. I see suffering, I see an affliction, and I want to do something, moved to mercy. I think the Greek word for mercy was something like Elias. I thought of you. Mercy. And so one of the things that I love about the character of Jesus is that Jesus was careful that he never was boxed into a corner. You know, when the lawyer came asking questions, he came out with a story that stunned the people listening. And one of the lessons of the story was, you want to know how to be a neighbor? Be a person who believes in acts of mercy. Be someone that's compassionate in your inner being, in your bowels, that when you see a need, you don't just ignore it. You maybe consider ways to do something. And I love that about Jesus. And if you read through, say, the Gospel of Luke, you can see over and over how Jesus not only told stories about have compassion, Jesus himself repeatedly was said to be moved with compassion. Before Jesus fed the 5,000, it said, Jesus saw the crowd and was moved with compassion. And that was before he did the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And so we see in Jesus the character of believing in acts of mercy. Jesus being a compassionate God. And his words to us, to the lawyer and to us, is go and do likewise. Go and be a person that has compassion and mercy. Now, I want to tell you a little bit of a story this week. I'm so grateful, by the way, for Mikkel and Rob and Tim. These three men have really done a lot of heavy lifting through this transition of my coming and Velma, the last pastor, leaving. And so I'm grateful for these three men. And on Friday morning, I was down here talking with Tim, and there were refugees in the Kavarna staying. Only problem is I didn't know that they were there. We have another congregation that worships here, in case you didn't know, a Russian-Ukrainian church, and they had opened the doors and were welcoming them, which of course we're glad to do. But anyway, so Tim and I met this young couple fleeing for their lives out of Ukraine with a little boy. And Tim was great at welcoming them and talking to them in Czech, which I'm rubbish at, and expressing care for them. And Tim, before I left, I went back to them, and the lady hugged me and said, thank you for letting us stay here. And that just moved me of, isn't that what the church is supposed to be about? Just caring for a need, right? And in that instance, I felt as much like the priest or the Levite who didn't really do a whole lot as the Good Samaritan. But I think it was for me a tangible moment of, here was a need, and so good that they could find a safe place to sleep on their way to Germany, I believe it was. And so I don't know what it is for each of you in your daily life as you're going to work and school and doing your life, some of us language classes, some of us writing scholarly things or teaching a class. But what does it look like to join Jesus on the mission of being called to acts of mercy. And sometimes it might be a really big thing, like helping a family on the run. But other times it might be a simple thing like asking a good question to a work colleague who's struggling, right? They just lost a family member and you notice they're sad. And you just show care, right? Is that not an act of mercy? Maybe if you're a student and you're in a classroom setting, maybe it's noticing the kid that others have excluded.